The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on video for a check him out to this large headphones smarter man there is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
I'm very good, Jess. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. I tell you what, my son went to see Spurs Arsenal, little derby in London there. And half time, my wife showed me a picture, literally had his head in his chips. He wouldn't look up to the camera.
And then, I don't blame him.
3-0 down half time. Oh my word, this is going to be a hammering. This is going to be absolutely hammering.
I turned off after the third goal, after Van der Ven's goal, which should have been a goal, was disallowed. We just conceded two very sloppy goals from set pieces. I mean, okay, first was an own goal from Højbjerg. He headed it into his own net. And then the second ones were just clear headers from set pieces, the second and third ones. And I'm just thinking, well, Van der Ven's a good defender. Romero's a good defender. What are they doing? Why are they not picking these guys up?
Defending? Do your job.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I went outside and worked in the garage, and then Annie, my wife, came out and said, "Oh, Spurs have scored. It's 3-1." I went back in and watched the last 20 minutes, and of course, we got the penalty, and it all got quite exciting. I would just loved to have at least got a point there, because I think we deserved it. But hey, there you go.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it could have been worse. I mean,
it could have been worse. Yeah.
I thought after half time there. My son said, "We're gonna won that." I said, "Well, yeah, no, but it could have been a lot worse." But anyway, it's almost like it was disappointing, but not as disappointing as it could have been. It carried on in the same vein as the first half.
The thing is, Arsenal were under pressure from us the whole game, and they didn't have a good game themselves, but they still won, and that's a sign of a really good side. When you play badly, but you can still grind out a result, and you just find a way to win, and that's what they did yesterday.
Yeah,
and despite of all of our swashbuckling football, some great attacking football, it looked great. And I've had loads of contact from Chelsea fans and other people who say, "Wow, what a great game! You were unlucky not to get anything out of it, but still a great game for the neutral." So we're playing great football, good looking football, but we've got to stop conceding silly goals.
Yeah. Okay. Well, exactly. It's about investing. It's okay having winners. You've got to avoid the losers as well. You can't just hold big losers and expect your portfolio to do well. You've got to get the biggest mistake investors make is then hanging on to the big losers, and averaging down in them, making them worse. So anyway, look at this, Al. This is a nice looking chart here. Let me just get rid of this. That's the AIM All Share, right? It's now just beating this resistance. Look, previously, it'd be nice to close here because we got this on the 11th of April and the 16th of February. Hit this level. Let me get my head out of the way. Hit this level of 758. We're now at 759 or 760 almost. Now, there was a previous high back here, just above that, 763. But we are heading towards previous highs. It's just looking good, And if you look at the FTSE 100, wow, look at that, powering away. All-time highs. Yeah, and these are above this line are all-time highs. So it's one. That one stayed down there. Two, three, four all-time highs in the last five trading sessions. So it's looking good. The markets are turning, I think.
Well, it is looking good. But I think we're seeing these markets also driven by commodity prices too. I mean, copper is just powering on to incredible highs. Gold, they've all broke. We were discussing this last week. They've all broken out of their trading patterns. So I think because of the constituents of these indices are made up of so many companies in mining, who are actually exploring and producing these commodities, we're now seeing finally that lag between commodity prices and indices starting to close.
Also what helps as well, of course, like you say, FTSE 100 companies are largely international companies, and most of the stuff they sell is dollar denominated. And at the moment, dollar is, because the Fed have pushed out interest rates reductions. So, but it looks like, UK and ECB are going to reduce earlier. Then our currencies become weaker against the dollar. Theirs is stronger. And so these FTSE 100 companies are selling commodities, in dollars, are going to benefit from that. So it's a pound dollar price. What do we buy? Currencies. Here we go. So pound. Yeah, there we are. So it's just weakening a bit there of the thing, just dropping down from it was 1.28. Mm-hmm. Now it's down here. But yeah, so there we are. All right. So stocks, individual stocks. What are you looking at, Al? What are you looking at?
Okay. So first company today recently reported a very strong trading update. Now, when we've spoken in the past, just we've looked at companies that provide services and generate cash from fees. This is one such company. It's a company called Manolete Partners.
I think it's pronounced Manolet.
Manolete. If anyone remembers the series The High Chaparral from many years ago, there was a Mexican cowboy in that series called Manolete. So that was my original thought when we looked at this company. So the epicode is MANO, AIM listed company.
Mano. Yeah.
Market cap of 62 million. Shares appear at a high of £2.50, a low of 107p. They're the UK's leading insolvency litigation financing company. So they provide and work with they work a three-way partnership with insolvency practitioners and lawyers, and they fund or buy insolvency claims. And they claim on their website that their service is simple, fast, effective, and fair. And there are numerous case studies that show you exactly how they work and how they generate their fees. So a fee-based business like this is always it's always worth watching these companies because they're good cash generators. They're generally cash cows. But if you see a downturn in the business or if you see a seasonal blip in the business and the share price hits a low, it's often a good or offers a good opportunity to get in. I'm not saying that's the case every time, but certainly if we look at the chart of Mano over
well,
the past
do,
year.
Do you know what's interesting about these? I know these quite well, right? And I've interviewed the guy, Steve, CEO, before. Yeah. And they fund also litigation. And they're in a very interesting area because during COVID, the government provided support to businesses that would have gone into liquidation. And so that hit, you know, Manolete's business.
It removed 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, and because of COVID, more businesses would have gone into liquidation. Now that support has been removed. And so you've got double problems from companies. And if worth looking at is that 18th of April trading update. Worth reading through this because there's some interesting thing. Do you know what? This is resulting, the government, you know, the support of the government, you know, reducing that or removing it has resulted in highest level of UK insolvencies for 30 years. Insolvency services liquidation, and the highest since 1960. And they're saying now they've gone from being throttled because of government support to literally amazing amount of services. Recovery plays are quite sort of tricky, but it looks like, and I mean, in fact, if you get them up on my website here, you can see even in their interims the improvement, even on colours. You know, this is growth. By the way, this is revenue, operating profit. If you can see there, they had a problem on the 31st of the 3rd of March. And then half year, which is 6 months later, look at the growth here, improvement. Mm. And and they went from literally making a loss there the full year because of, you know, the government support, stopped companies going through, basically, and now going to a profit half year. And that, you know, I find that sort of trading update quite bullish. And new cases equaling record highs. So I think this is going to be a risky. Recoveries are risky, but you know, just read the trading update, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, indeed, I'm quoting from the trading update now, and I mean Steve Cooklin said that they're seeing really strong momentum in the second half and this return to profit with new case and case completion volumes running at record highs. But they're also seeing what's also driving it, they're seeing a greater volume of larger cases. So in the second half of last year, Manolete signed 20 cases which are worth over £1 million each. So these are higher value cases. So of course that's going to have a significant impact on both revenue and profitability. And indeed what we're seeing, they have 418 cases currently live. They're projecting revenue of £26.5 million full year 24 against just under £21 million last year. A PBIT number, so it's a profit before interest, tax, depreciation of £2.5 million. And that's compared to a loss last year of 3.1 million. So they've returned to profit, which is hugely significant. They've also got cash of 1.5 million at the bank as well. And I think probably the only issue with the company is that they still have debt of 12.2 million, but that has come down from last year. So it's not inconceivable if their cases and case volume builds at this current rate, they could pay that debt down very quickly, and then you'd be looking at a really, really strong cash generator of a company.
Do you know what's interesting as well? The COVID thing. So the COVID thing is what's affected their business, and now there's more companies going through, like I said, a record amount of liquidations in 1960.
Yeah.
And they are in charge as well of, you know, there's bounce back loans. Many companies, you know, had these bounce back loans have gone through. So they've been put in charge of the pilot scheme at Barclays to reclaim some of this. So now they're on the completely other side. But apart from being hurt by the COVID, they now it benefited from it in both ways. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Like I said, you know, more cases, bigger amount of cases. And so it could be a decent bounce back this. But again, you know, do your own research, read through it. And just looking quickly here, like I said, they have net debt of 12 million there, but current ratio is fine and all that stuff. But the margin is good, 44%. And this will improve. Like I said, this has been a couple of years of hard work for them, but I think now it's looking like they could be on the path to recovery. I do like Steve also, the CEO. I always like to see when, you know, how much does the boss having shares, and I think he has about 15% of the company. So
he's
got a lot of skin in the game.
He's a big shareholder. I think also it's worth looking at the 5-year chart too, just if you could bring that up. Because the 5-year chart, it's we're seeing this downtrend, but I mean there is a possibility. I think that we could be looking at a breakout now. We're coming close to that 200 day line, aren't we? So if we can.
Yeah. The trading update was here, gapped up. That's always a good sign when it gaps up on a trading update like that. But I think once the figures come out and people see, you know, the full year improvement, because, you know, full year results, more attention is paid to those in trading updates. So I think once you see that, it'll probably move up. I wouldn't be surprised to break that 200-day moving average, which has been below since pretty much since March 2023, so over a year. But we could see the bottom here. And the fact that it's come off this bottom, it's starting to sort of, you know, rally a little bit. It's good news. But, recovery phase are always tricky. They always take longer than you think. They're always a bit riskier. But if they do happen, you can get significant upside. But, read the trading update there. So very interesting.
Yeah, read the trading update. But I think it's also worth bearing in mind, looking at that chart, we're seeing that potentially breaking that 200-day line to break through. But the company is now generating more cash than it's ever done historically, for the past 5 years. And yet the share price is at a 5-year low. So at some point, there's got to be a turnaround. And I think we're seeing that momentum now. Yes, there's a risk there, but there's a very real chance that we could see a significant recovery over the next 6 to 8 months from this stock.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find shareholders, isn't it? Shareholder listed versus, what is it? Can you see that there? Is it there? The transfer, the note? No. No, I did see it somewhere, but there we are. There we are. Steve Cook in there owns 15.64%. So,
Always good to see a CEO with skin in the game. But I mean, 15% is a lot of skin in the game. And that's a company that's got a market cap currently of 62 million. So Steve's stake is worth about 10 million. So that's pretty
good. Yeah, exactly. What's next, Al?
Okay. Another hash cow generator of.
I know it is.
A bit rude. So the company's called Facilities by ADF. Epicode is ADF. Facilities by ADF, this is a company that provides production facilities and in the form of support vehicles, trailers, generators, you name it, to the TV and film industry. So if you look at their website, there's a series of trailers and vehicles on there which provide a vehicle for makeup, production and offices and management, artiste trailers, what they call the honey wagon, in other words portable loos, generators, of course, dining areas, and also tech vehicles too. So all of these are available now. The film industry is pretty much evergreen, but the industry was badly hit last year by the by the Hollywood writers' strike because literally everything stopped. All the production over there stopped. Regardless of that, ADF have just announced their full year numbers to December 31st last year. Revenues of just under 35 million, up from 31.5 million. Adjusted EBITDA slightly down, 7.3 million, down from 8 million last year. And it's because the company was impacted by this Hollywood writers' strike. Now, they generate an average of 385,000 per production. And the productions they worked on last year included The Crown, Series 6, Slow Horses, one of the best things on TV.
If you've ever seen. Good that.
Love it. Gary Oldman, fantastic.
Yeah, he's very good.
Star Wars Andor, The Gentleman, which is also brilliant too. Rivals and also The Diplomat, which Annie and I saw, I think, about a year ago, which is quite good too. But also during the period, the company's added 108 new units to the fleet. And they said in the update that they'd seen strong growth in demand. And they've got a very strong forward order book too. So if you look at this chart here, if we look at the chart of the company, again, we're seeing a similar chart to the...
Do you know what? I know this company, right? The thing is, people are looking, it's quite appropriate here, people are looking here, I think investors, in the rearview mirror. Their final results were, you know, to the end of the 31st December 2023.
Yeah. And probably in fact, the Hollywood writer's strike too.
Yeah, exactly. And, that, you know, that affects them. But the British film and TV industry is doing very well. It's doing very well, apart from that, you know, one-off blip from the writer's strike. That's not going to happen again for probably five years or whatever. But they do say, where is it, Outlook? Look at that. Following the end of strikes November 2023 and continued growth demand for ADF services, they say the company expects financial performance for H1 2024 to be significantly ahead. Yeah. Of it. And if you look here, and I'll scroll down here to ADF. This is the forecast. Okay, they're looking at pretty much 34 million their top line 2023, 47 million for this year. That's 35% top line growth, another 20% on top of that. And I've said it. This is what I've just estimated. But these two are from the broker, and that's what I've estimated there. So they've got 35% this year, and literally, look at this. We are literally on a 0.75. sales, you know, EV sales and EV EBITDA of 2 and a PE of 8. It's like, that's nothing for that growth and a cash generative business.
Yeah.
And these are multiples of 1, 6, and 12. So I see, you know, significant upside here. I mean, the broker's got 78% over 12 months. I've got a bit more than that over 24 months. But like I said, even with that awful, you know, 12 months they had because of the writer's strike, they still generated 2 million of operating profit, you know, and no debt.
But what's remarkable is that despite those great numbers last week, the share price hasn't even reacted.
No, it's not very well known because it's only listed in, listed at the end of the bull market. So, you know, they're having a good... But saying that, though, considering listed at the end of the bull market, they've been through a strike and everything, it's held up quite well. It didn't really start, you know.
But if you think about the amount of productions during COVID, just the amount of productions coming onto Netflix, Apple TV, Amazon, all the rest of it, the TV industry, the TV and film industry is in really rude health. And,
their clients.
Yeah,
I was going to say. Amazon, Apple, BBC, Channel 4, Disney, ITV, and Netflix, all of them, Sky, and what's the biggest customer here? Look at BBC is 6 million. Disney is 4.5, ITV is nearly 5 million.
Netflix 5.2. I mean, Netflix is just churning out series after series after series. So there's a real opportunity, and companies that supply to the industry, they have all the vehicles, all the tech, so you just call these guys up and the vehicles are on site probably within 24, 48 hours. So, they're an integral part of the industry. Okay, we had the writer's strike, but I think the shares have been really unfairly punished on the back of that. And certainly looking at those forecasts and looking at the projections from the company and seeing the bounce back already and the forecast by the company for this year, I think the shares really, it's just not reflected in the current share price.
No, it's not. Look at these. So they got hundreds of these, Trevor, 700, I think they are. But look at that, a racing dog box. What the heck is that?
They're diversifying probably into dog racing as well. But But yeah, but
so I suppose if you're filming, you've got dogs there. I suppose that's where they stay over a day. You know, when they bring the dogs on set, I suppose they have to put them in there for a while. And so,
I love the fact they call the portable toilets honey wagons. That's a new term on me. So obviously, film industry term for the loose.
Yeah,
I'm just going to the honey wagon. Yeah,
look at that one, eh? Expandable. I like that. Look at that. Yeah. So yeah. That's nice.
It's like some of these motorhomes you see.
Look at that. I need one of those. We're having a house renovated. We need to find somewhere to rent, and we can't do it for these days. You can only rent for like 6 months or 12 months, and the renovation is going to take less than that. And we're thinking, what can we rent? We should get one of these trailers. Look at that. It's cheap.
They're vast, aren't they? But you see these motorhomes that sort of turn up on campsites now, and they press a button, and the sides come out like this. They're quite incredible. They're more luxurious than a lot of houses.
Yeah. Okay. What's next? We normally do three stocks. What's next?
Okay. So the final stock today is Ondo InsurTech.
Okay. We did some news there, didn't they? I think.
Well, they did. Yes. There have been a couple of announcements. Firstly, there was a trading update last week. And then today we've had just an update on the nationwide and LeakBot deployment. But so this is. Ondo is a leading company in water leak claims prevention technology. In March 2022, they reversed LeakBot Limited into Spinnaker Acquisitions, which was a cash out at the time, and formed Ondo InsurTech. So the LeakBot is basically an IoT, Internet of Things-based claims prevention system, which can reduce the cost of water damage claims by up to 70%. So it quite simply fits onto your internet, and it'll monitor any changes in the home. It'll also alert you, or it will alert the engineer straight away. So basically, the engineer can get to the premises quickly, stop the water from damaging the property, and save money. And the amount of money that is in the claims system is quite astonishing. It's absolutely huge. They believe that on average, LeakBot can save insurers $140 per claim of annual claims per installation, which is a huge amount of money. But it's a perennial problem faced by the insurance industry. This is where they pay out most money. And certainly the LeakBot initially started sort of with companies like Hiscox and Avon Insurance in the UK. Then they rolled out across the UK and had trials with Portsmouth Water, and then April last year they signed a partnership with WNS Holdings in the States, an NYSE listed company which runs claims operations for many household name insurers throughout the USA. It has a market cap of well over $4 billion, and through that the company is now getting into the States and is now rolling out the LeakBot technology with companies throughout the USA. I mean, for any insurance company, it's an absolute slam dunk. You'd be crazy not to use it. So the company have built the system. They're also rolling out further across Europe with various other companies. It's their partnership with the big US insurers, in particular the Fortune 100 insurance company nationwide, to roll LeakBot out as part of this insurance smart home program that really is starting to make waves in the US. And indeed, earlier in April, we had a training update from the group. Progress for the second half of 2024 was in line with the expectations. The company's managing its cash resources at 31st of March this year, had 400,000 in the bank with a further account receivable of 400,000 received on the 2nd of April. And then, of course, today the company's announced an update with Nationwide in the USA, and it started the first deliveries of devices across Cincinnati, Ohio, St. Louis, Missouri, the installation rate currently is over 70%, well ahead of expectations. So this is going to mean an increase in revenues for Ondo, and I'm sure the rollout throughout the US will continue, but I think the company at the present are a bit of a one-trick pony in this regard. They've got this fantastic device, but The company, the device, incidentally, was invented by the chief executive Craig Foster. Now, Craig worked for HomeServe, and HomeServe, of course, are the people that do a lot of direct mail marketing. So you'll be getting, you get letters through your door saying, you know, show your house with HomeServe, all the rest of it. Well, that's who Craig Foster worked for. And he developed the LeakBox while he was working at HomeServe Labs. And indeed, the Insurance Times named him tech champion on the back of that. So he then span that out into Ondo. And of course, the rest is history. But I think they're now working on developing other products in the arena. So we can expect to see further growth from the company. But again, you know, similar to Sarah, I think when the company first came to market, we saw a really strong growth, you know, the shares rising from an initial sort of 15p all the way up to 37p. And you know, we've seen sort of various fortunes since then. But I think the slump in the share price really isn't reflective of the success they're now seeing in the US. So I think once the revenues from the insurance companies in the US start to really hit the bottom line, we're going to see a significant growth in and jump in revenues, also EBITDA too. And I'm sure on the back of that, we're going to be seeing some further product rollouts as we go forward.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea of it. I think there's a big market, of course, in home insurers. And it did catch the imagination of many private investors. Like I said, it shot up over here. It wasn't pre-revenue then, but close to. And so people, all these big figures are coming out. And then you realize, like anything with a stock that's, you know, commercializing, it takes a lot longer than you think. And there's also, when you're producing something like this, the cash burn can be quite high. And so I do like the idea. Like I said, look at that. That was the last set of results, 31st of the third. And literally, operating profit, a loss of nearly 6 million. They also got debt, convertibles, I think, from HomeServe, which is a firm from there, or one of the guys from there. The top line growth is good, there's improvement there. But nevertheless, it's a little bit worrying about the cash here. They say they have, you know, 4 million of cash and further accounts receivable of 400,000 of cash.
400,000,
Further accounts receivable of 400,000. And so just looking, scrolling down, these are the broker forecasts. You can see they're looking at 2.8 million this year, 6.2. So a very good top line over the next 2 years when it sort of kicks in. The only issue is, as I said, they're not forecast to be profitable, even in 2026, EBITDA level. So I'm assuming they will need more cash. But I like the idea. Like, you know, I think there's obviously a market for it, a big market for it.
I think
it's just that it's just short-term cash, I think, is what they need to be concerned about. That's any concern. Maybe that's where the share price is coming down a bit, because people are a little bit worried about that.
Yeah, I think that's probably a very accurate assessment. But equally, I think some of the potential in Ondo as an insurance or an investment proposition lies in the fact that it surely has to be on the radar of some of the insurance companies out there as a potential acquisition, because it works so well, and it's saving the insurance companies a huge amount of money. So a lot of the big insurers could snap this up, you know, at a premium to where it's at now. I mean, the company's only got a market cap of what is it?
13 million. But enterprise value is 19 because of that debt. So you're right there. You know, if an insurer is going to save, you know, a few million a year even, just buy this, and if they're saving 5 million a year, you know, to pay them back in a few years.
You could buy this company at a premium, and then you've got, I guess one of the things is, of course, would the other insurance companies continue to do business with you? But I mean, most insurance companies work together, most of the big ones work together anyway. So there's an opportunity for a really ambitious insurance company to snap up Ondo and build a business there and add to profitability. But I think that's number one. Number two, you've got this potential for growth. If they're not acquired, I think they will need cash at some point. But they are also working on other products behind the scenes, I'm sure, to give them another dimension to their earnings generation capability. But it's made a huge difference this already. And you know, anyone who's had the nightmare of a flooded home will, I'm sure, if they've used this and it's worked, will be absolutely indebted to the company. Certainly, morally anyway.
Yeah, I think that maybe the cash is a worry because it's broken that. There's a support there, sort of 18 pence-ish. And previously released trading updates, it's rallied, and it hasn't rallied that much. It's rallied up and come back down. So maybe it's a genuine worry in the background about cash levels, who knows. But I do think it's, like I said, big market. It's a good product. Could do well just at the moment. There seem to be temporary worries about it. But, sometimes if you keep an eye on it, like I said, I'm watching this company. I nearly jumped in here, and then I pulled back because I saw the whole hype around it. I nearly jumped in. I thought, no, it's just going to roll over. And then shot back up here. Oh, no. And then I did. Yeah, but now it's back below that level. But
I did buy the shares in the early days and they went on a journey. So I sold out at a profit. I'm keen on this company. I like what it does. It's a really simple proposition too, an absolute slam dunk. So I think possibly that's the one weakness they have, is that they do just have the one product. They're a one-trick pony at the moment. So if they can diversify and bring other products in, I think it'll become a stronger proposition off the back of that.
Okay, marvelous stuff. Thanks for Al, and we'll speak to you next weekie.
Thank you, Just. Speaking next week.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.